Hello there. Don't be alarmed. We're just preparing your listening device for Scuba Radio, the world's first radio show devoted to diving. We do this, of course, by filling your radio with water. Don't worry. We're professionals. Thanks to me, you won't even get wet. You see, I've crammed every appendage of my body into the cracks and crevices of your radio, ensuring an airtight seal. By the way, don't touch your on-off knob. That's a very sensitive area. Anyway, I should remind you, we believe in the buddy system just like diving, so don't listen alone. Call your buddy and tell them that Scuba Radio is about to begin.
We're going to start a new life under the sea.
So, am I going to drown?
Of course not. Just stay calm and let the gentle currents relax your every muscle.
Under the sea. Under the sea.
Did it just get warmer?
There'll be no accusations, just friendly crustaceans under the sea.
Where the hell are the sharks?
And now, here's your dive guide for Scuba Radio, Greg the Dive Master.
And welcome. This is the world's first radio show devoted to diving. Greg the Dive Master, Bill the Producer. CJ and Jimmy the Bubble Boy are going to join me a little bit later on. Also, Captain Patrick from the World of Boating is hanging over to be on the big show with us today because, well, it's Lobster Day. Yeah, as soon as we wrap up the big show today, I'm heading straight down to the Florida Keys.
I thought our show was the big show.
Well, this is a bigger show because it's 2 hours and World of Boating's one.
We used to be 2 hours.
Well, okay. It's a big show in its own right. We'll just leave. It's a different show.
If I'm going to put him on the spot, I'm going to do it right off the bat.
So. Okay,
nice,
fair enough.
Nice job.
All right, so we have a full crew here to talk a little bit about catching lobsters because that's what we're getting geared up for. We got our tickle sticks out. You got one, Patrick?
Yeah. Yes, I do.
I know Bill has a tickle stick or two.
Look, it's right here.
And I'm more of a looper. Instead of a tickle stick, I have a little noose at the end of mine that I yank on it.
You should really see a doctor for that.
And I can snag them with the best of them. That's why they call me the lobster slayer.
You do not want to be standing next to him in the lineup.
But we'll get to that.
what lineup?
Okay,
I'm telling you.
We'll get to that in a little bit later on. Also, we got Dennis from the Scuba Snobs is going to be on the show today. Captain Slate, who we're going to dive with tomorrow morning. Not only are we doing some lobster diving, we're doing the creature feature.
Nice.
And checking in with Hot Lips, the nurse shark, and a few other of his favorite friends. Big Wave Dave from the Be a Diver pool is out on location someplace. We're going to find out where. And if we're lucky, Neil Watson just got back from Bimini, I believe, and hopefully we'll be able to connect with him today and find out how his little adventure with the group from Oceanic went there in Bimini. They were diving all week on some new gear. So hopefully we're going to check in with Neil as well before the day is done. However, we're going to kick off the show talking about, something that I'm very conflicted over. The last few years, I've kind of, pulled it back a notch as far as how much we talk about Shark Week on the Discovery Channel. It kicks off Sunday on the Discovery Channel, so might as well jump on the bandwagon and join the rest of the media and promote it accordingly. I used to be a big, big fan.
Well, they used to send you stuff, too.
Yeah, well, that's a good question. Or a good thing. Yeah, are you
comment?
Yeah. because I didn't get squat from them this year. I wonder if that's because of my little tirades from the last couple of years. What do you think, Bill?
I think that may be why you might be conflicted because you didn't get anything from them.
That's right. They didn't.
If you
send
got
me
something
squat
from them, you probably wouldn't be quite as conflicted.
Yeah,
referring to them as the worst show on cable TV.
No,
not a good move.
Well, it wasn't that. I didn't actually. Maybe I did say that. Now I think about it. But no. Here's the deal. I mean, back in the day, I used to really support Shark Week. I thought it was a good thing because they were doing, a lot of conservation stuff mixed up with the whole blood and guts thing. But it's definitely gotten worse and worse over the last few years, I think. I will say last year they were starting to bring back more of the conservation efforts, more so. And I've been kind of watching it from the distance. But I about 5 years ago, I pulled back and I just said, look, I'm not going to promote this anymore. I think the last time we actually did an interview to promote Shark Week on the Discovery Channel was with Mike Rowe from Dirty Jobs.
Right.
And he was the host of the show that week.
Yeah.
And he was a great host. And I asked him, I said, you know, after you've done these dives, because they put him in the chainmail suit,
right,
and he fed the sharks, and it was kind of cool because he wasn't a big time diver. And I asked him, I said, wow, you've done all this great stuff. You did the great whites. You fed the sharks in the Bahamas. And
he went with Stuart Coves, didn't he?
Yeah. And he goes, I asked him, I said, so are you going to do this some more? And he goes, absolutely not. I'm done. I don't want to do it anymore. And that was kind of like, well, I don't know if he had that great of an experience. You know what I'm saying?
Because why he's doing four truck commercials.
It didn't sound like to me that it necessarily
grabbed him.
He didn't seem to get the fever.
Yeah. You know, a lot of divers do that. And once you have that experience, you're like, oh, my gosh, that's awesome.
Wait,
I want to do it again.
Do you think it was the diving or the fact that he was diving and feeding sharks?
No, I think it was the shark thing for sure, but they probably put him through such a rapid fire type of experience that he didn't really have a good opportunity to acclimate to the whole activity and really soak it and enjoy it from just an experience standpoint.
Well, he was probably the least experienced diver in the water every time he went out.
Yeah, well, exactly. So it may have been a little bit of sensory overload for him. Mm-hmm. At his level of diving experience at the time. Now, he didn't knock it, don't get me wrong, but you could tell he was like, okay, yeah, I'm done with that. I don't want to do that anymore. And so, I don't know, he might have got a little bit overwhelmed. But after that, you know, it got more and more into the blood and guts and all these shark attack reenactments.
That's what people want.
It is what brings people in. I get it. But it just, to me, it's gotten more and more to that level where...
Sensationalistic.
Yeah, and it's... I don't think that's good for the sharks. I mean, because the news media is promoting all this stuff. I mean, this year there's a big show, I guess, about the about Jaws or something. The movie Jaws is one of the specials this year. They do have a thing where one of the shows, which is their one conservation show. That's what they've been doing the last couple of years. Out of the 5 premieres they do each day, you know, like Monday through Friday. They'll do like one show every night that is like a world premiere. And this year's conservation shark show is like shark victims out to save sharks.
Right.
So it's kind of interesting because they do the reenactment about how this person lost an arm or whatever in their tragedy. And then that person became a shark, you know.
Advocate.
Yeah. And I don't know what to think of that, because I have a feeling it's going to be more about the attack, and then the advocate part is going to come later on. But, you know, time will tell.
It will be silly to do it the other way.
Are you basing it on actually having seen the show, or
are you
just assuming?
Well, I read a little review or interview with one of the people that are featured.
Ah.
And you can tell, even from their answers, they were a little bit... concerned how this is going to be played out as well in the media, because I think everybody has who does love sharks and wants to dive sharks, wants to dive with them and promote their conservation. You don't want to see them, you know, projected in this evil, bloodthirsty way like the movie Jaws did, which scared so many people away from the water and even did worse for the sharks themselves. I mean, it's that... You know, it's a major conflict, and so I've kind of jumped off that whole Shark Week bandwagon because of that. Because I think it's kind of taken a turn where it's doing way worse than it's doing more bad than good. I don't know. Thoughts, Bill? What do you think? Have you been watching it or what?
I haven't watched Shark Week in a very, very long time, and I haven't watched Shark Week because I agree with you that I think that what they promote is the sensationalism. Now, originally, I think the idea was they had a couple of things which were really sensational that brought you in.
Right.
But then the message was that we need to conserve these sharks.
Yeah, you suck them in with, you know, if it bleeds, it leads kind of thing.
Right.
And then the shows themselves are actually shark conservation shows.
But the thing about the nature of cable television these days is that people watch just what they want to watch. So the shows which get the ratings now are the sensationalized shows, and the shows that don't get watched are the shows which we would want people to watch. And that's the problem. So they make fewer and fewer of those, and more of the, if you go in the water, a shark is probably going to eat you alive.
Right. Yeah, and I think it's definitely gotten more and more that way. So, I don't know.
I mean, I can't necessarily blame them. It is the same reason they keep making those stupid reality shows. People watch them.
Well, yeah, but those are good. That's quality TV.
Stupid.
Yeah, but you know what? Everybody I talk to says they don't watch them. So I want to know where these people are that are actually watching them.
Oh, trust me.
I watch them.
People want. Yeah, there we are.
Yeah.
There we are.
Which ones do you watch, Greg?
Survivor, yeah.
Jersey Shore?
No, I don't watch that.
Real Housewives?
That's trash.
You're a Real Housewives guy.
No, no, I don't watch that one. No.
Yes, he does.
No. No, no, I'm not into Snooki. I am not into any of the
he
Real
Housewives.
He knows
them, though. Yeah. How about all the shows with the Kardashians in them?
Well, yeah, that's quality TV. Who would want to miss that?
This is the Worldwide Scuba Radio Network.
For over 20 years, Explorer Ventures has been taking people just like you aboard their liveaboard dive vessels. You start as a guest and leave as a friend. It's a philosophy that comes from the top down at Explorer Ventures, and just maybe why Explorer Ventures has one of the best repeat customer stats in the dive industry. Of course, they offer spectacular diving in the Bahamas, Turks and Caicos, and Galapagos. All the details are right there at ExplorerVentures.com, but it's the people and the friendships one makes on these adventures that really sets Explorer Ventures apart from the rest. That's why we've made Explorer Ventures the official liveaboard company of Scuba Radio. Matter of fact, we'll be on several trips throughout the year, and we'd love for you to join us on any of these great diving adventures. However, the bottom line is, Explorer Ventures does the liveaboard dive experience right. Call them and see for yourself at 1-800-322-3577 or visit ExplorerVentures.com. That's ExplorerVentures.com.
You suck. You have to survive when you're scuba diving 30 feet underwater. The next time you dive, suck air through Oceanic's new Delta 4 regulator with dry valve technology. DVT eliminates moisture, corrosion, and hose deterioration. The Delta 4 also features an FDX10 balanced diaphragm for years of hassle-free diving. So admit it, you suck. And you should be sucking on a Delta 4 by Oceanic.
You are a diver and have the Dive Flag shirt, hat, and bumper sticker to prove it. However, you can share your love of diving and ascend to a higher level with Dive Silver. Combining exquisite sterling silver with gemstones, Dive Silver is the perfect way to share your passion for the underwater world. From mantis to mermaids and everything in between, you'll find something truly unique to express your love of diving in the extensive line of Dive Silver jewelry. And at an affordable price, go to DiveSilver.com and see for yourself. That's DiveSilver.com.
Scuba, scuba, scooby dooby dooba, here we go, scuba, come on.
Okay, I want to say, when I'm in the States, I listen to Scuba Radio, the first radio devoted to diving.
And welcome back to the world's first radio show devoted to diving. Greg the Dive Master, Bill the Producer. Patrick from the World of Boating is with us still for a few more minutes, hanging over for the World of Boating Radio Show today. And CJ and Jimmy the Bubble Boy have just walked in as we continue our to share our thoughts on Shark Week. Now, Patrick, before I get to my dive students and find out if I have influenced them as far as how they feel about Shark Week on the Discovery Channel, what about you? You're a fishing guy, a boat captain.
I'm not a fishing guy.
Okay, you're not a fishing guy.
I am a boat captain.
You are a boat captain. So you feel how about Shark Week on the Discovery Channel?
I think it's a terrible show.
You think it's a terrible show? But why?
It just promotes the fact that, look, when people go into water, mm-hmm. whether you're swimming, you're surfing, you're boating, or whatever, you're going into the environment of the shark.
Right.
Okay.
Mm-hmm.
It's not that sharks are just doing what sharks have been doing.
Yeah,
for thousands of years.
Mm-hmm. This is true. Yeah,
it's like walking into a portalette and expecting it not to smell.
True. No, it's not like that at all.
Oh, it's not.
Wait,
it's like walking into a portalette and a portalette eats you.
Ooh, that would be bad.
That's it doesn't always eat you.
It just takes a small part of your body.
That happened to me once.
Yeah.
What about flesh-eating bacteria?
Okay. I get the point.
Good topic.
But, okay, so you're just saying that you know, we people who jump in the water assume that responsibility that they're in the shark's domain and but shouldn't be complaining.
Are you familiar with Bethany Hamilton?
Yeah, of course.
Okay.
Yeah.
So here
surfer.
Here she was out in Hawaii surfing,
yeah.
Young girl.
Right.
Gets her arm taken off by a tiger shark.
Gets a movie deal.
Back out surfing in that environment and doesn't hold any ill will towards sharks. Are just doing what sharks do.
Well, that one and, special they have on this year is literally people like her, I guess. I don't know if she's one of them. I don't think so. But it's people that have been.
I think it's an assumed risk. Okay. If you think that you're going to be able to go into that backyard with five pit bulls and get out of there without getting bit, you're going to be sadly mistaken.
Okay. Hold on.
So what? You're saying if you go in the water, a shark's going to bite you.
But there's a different risk between surfers and divers.
Now, I'm a surfer. So yeah. I've been surfing since I was about 12. Okay. Hmm. And yeah. I've seen a couple people get nipped, and there's certain areas on the East Coast that I don't go surfing because sharks tend to congregate and chase the bait fish. One of those places is Ponce Inlet, which has become the shark bite capital of the world.
Mm-hmm.
Well, the reason why is because that's where all the bait fish are. Don't go surfing there. But if you do, realize you stand a pretty good chance of getting nipped. Not really bit, not really attacked. I mean, you get a bigger scratch with your fingernail. Yeah,
accidentally nipped.
Right. Yeah. Well,
you
okay.
bump into them, they turn around, they bite, they let go, and you're like, oh, I got shark attack. No, you didn't. Yeah. No, you didn't. You got.
This is like
nipped.
Eating a pizza, and you go, "Ah, I didn't know this had mushrooms on it."
It's like eating a pizza in a portalette.
Weird.
Yes, that's exactly.
Just
that
wrong.
Is such a strong analogy.
All right, so I understand
with Nutella.
You know your thought process on going into the water, and you assume the risk, and you shouldn't be whining about sharks and that.
I don't
kind
think
of thing.
You should be promoting the fact that the sharks attack people. Sharks. They're just doing what. They've been doing for thousands and millions of years.
Yeah, and unfortunately, that's what Shark Week ends up being when they promote it. It's all about, oh my gosh, it's this latest attack and this reenactment, and there's blood everywhere, and oh my god, this person lived, and look at their wounds and blood.
More people get attacked on a yearly basis, bit by dogs in this country.
More people are bit by other people in the city of New York alone than are bitten by sharks
Miami.
Every year.
Look, there's a reason. Look, we have two arms and two legs.
Yeah.
And, you have two.
That's true.
So, if God forbid something happens, you can always play drums for Def Leppard.
All right. CJ is a drummer, by the way. So he speaks from experience.
I mean, the technology is there. You can still rock out.
Okay.
So don't hold it against the sharks.
All right.
That's all I'm saying.
All right. Okay. So, it sounds like at least amongst our little crew right here, we're in agreement that we're not big fans of Shark Week.
No, all kidding aside, I've been certified diving with you guys 6 years.
Yeah.
Every encounter that I've had with sharks has been incredible. I love seeing them. They're my favorite thing to see, when I'm out there. So I love seeing sharks. They've never hassled me. And, I mean, they're getting ratings. They're just promoting, that's what people want to see.
Yeah, okay.
Having said that,
Having
said that, I went to school with a shark, and he beat me up for my lunch money every Thursday for 7 years.
Well,
were you in
any permanent scars?
Were you part of the Jets?
Yes, I was a Jet.
Not Tim Tebow's Jets.
Benny and the Jets.
The dancing kind.
Everyone snap. Here we go. Okay, that's enough.
It's some kind of
jazz
magic.
Hands. Jazz hands.
All right. Well, CJ, you don't blame them for doing it because it's TV. They got to get ratings. But see, I don't.
It's like showing the worst part of anything.
Right. Well, that's true. And I think, unfortunately,
like the Real Housewives,
it's doing more bad than good.
Exactly. Excellent,
now.
Bill.
Or the Miss America pageant, right? Miss America is a lot like Shark Week. You watch, you think, hey, no, you don't have a chance of ever getting bit by them, just like you don't have a chance of getting bit by the sharks.
Only if you're in a portalette.
Eating a pizza.
Wow. I would say great minds think alike, but
great minds
we
here.
Just proved that that's not the
wow.
case.
Wow. That's something else right there.
Twisted minds say the same damn things. Scary. All right. Well, there you go. If you have any comments on Shark Week, 888-88-SCUBA, feel free to dial up and share your thoughts with us, or info@scubaradio.com.
Racist against sharks.
Sharkists.
Sharkism. And I should call it Suck Week.
I like it. It is a form of sharkism, isn't it?
They just don't have any lawyers or, like, you know.
They have no representation. That's what we're trying to do. We're trying to represent for the shark population.
Where is
right
Jesse
now.
Jackson when you need him?
In the hospital.
No.
Or Al Sharpton.
He was bit by
Al
a shark.
Sharpton.
Al Sharpton.
Oh.
Thank you. I'll be here all week. Try the veal.
Nice. All right. Well, really, on that note, we
if
don't...
you're bit, you must acquit.
No, I don't think that's how it works. But it's a nice thought.
If you have a fin, it is not a sin.
You know, maybe the Discovery Channel should just call us and have us consult for them. And then they would definitely lose all their money.
Yeah.
They would have no chance at survival any more than they do now. Or any less.
If you want to know the truth, look to the shark with the tooth. That was a bad one.
Yeah, that was not good. I was
thinking of it saying, oh, it's got to get better. It's got to get better. It didn't get better.
No, only if you're in a portalette.
With a pizza.
Yeah. Okay. Let's just stop while we're ahead. And we'll get into what it takes to be a scuba snob. Maybe that's what we're being right now, is scuba snobs when it comes to Shark Week. I don't know. We'll have to think about this and come back to you after the break.
Scuba. Scuba Radio.
Just got a text from Ann O'Bannon. Last time we were down in the Keys lobstering about a year ago, we were staying at her condo down there in Marathon, guys. Remember that? She just texted me and said, hey, guys, how you doing? Listening to you. Almost drove off the road because I was so mad. You're so annoying.
Well, we get that a lot.
Yeah. And which explains why we're not staying at her condo when we go down there today.
She's mad at you?
No, you.
What'd you say?
You guys.
Well, I get that.
Yeah. But nice lady, works down there at some of the radio stations down in the Florida Keys. Who knows? Maybe we'll see her while we're down there. We're going to go down and say hi to Captain Slate and do the creature feature tomorrow morning. And so you'll hear about this next week. It's been a while since I've been down there to check in on Captain Slate's friends, Hot Lips, who we helped name here on Scuba Radio like 10 years ago as a baby nurse shark.
Awesome.
Is now as a, like a 5-6 footer.
I can't wait. This is like something I want to cross off my bucket list.
Yeah, you guys haven't been able to do the creature feature before.
I've dove with Captain Slate before, but not with the feature.
Yeah. So he will he'll put Ballyhoo in his mouth, and the barracuda will come feed right out of his mouth, and then he'll put one in your mouth, and then give you the option to have the barracuda come by and either eat the ballyhoo or your face.
Cool. I'm game for that.
No, is there a third option?
No ballyhoo.
Can you just eat the ballyhoo? Can you just eat the fish yourself? Can you just eat the raw, frozen fish?
Actually,
anchovies.
And then have the shark catch it on the way out? Is that what you're saying?
Actually, all virgins to Captain Slate's creature feature, there is a hazing ceremony that involves eating a ballyhoo.
Nope.
No, there is.
Greg, is this like the conch thing over in the Bahamas?
No, that's the pistol of the conch.
Yeah.
It increases your sex drive. It's like Bahamian Viagra. This is the truth. It's just as legit.
Which is just what I want when I'm on a trip without my wife.
It's fish, ballyhoo. It's like sushi. So, yeah.
Nope.
What do you mean, no? You eat sushi. You come on. You guys are my dive students. I am in a position of power over you. And I'm allowed
okay,
to tell you things to do as divers that you're just supposed to take at face value and just do them.
I can't
no
imagine
questions
why
asked.
I can't imagine why you don't get invited back places.
Yeah.
This is the Worldwide Scuba Radio Network.
Prepare to rig for dive!
Your surface interval is complete. You're now clear to dive with Scuba Radio.
Scuba Radio.
The world's first radio show devoted to diving.
Scuba Radio.
Dive, dive, dive.
Scuba Radio, Divers Consumer Tip number 123. Many know that orcas are considered the wolves of the sea. Lesser known is those bloodthirsty sharks are sometimes considered the vampires of the sea. And a war is coming. Twilight, Undersea Bloodbath. Coming soon to a theater near you in IMAX 3D. Scuba Radio is not yet rated. So now, here's a Dan safety tip you can really use.
And yes, that means it's time for the real Dan Good Diving Safety Tip. And in the studio, we have Nick Bird, CEO and Chief Medical Officer for Divers Alert Network. Looks like you're happy to be here, Nick.
I am. How could you tell?
You're smiling.
You're right. And the smiling was a signal.
I get the feeling. You're signaling our topic for the day.
You ever notice how many signals are out there to help us through our day?
Not really.
Think about it. Everywhere you look, there are signals. Some subtle. Some not, to help communicate what's going on around you. Street signs, traffic lights, calendar alarms. There are tons of them incorporated into our everyday lives, and they've all become really important to us.
Kinda like signaling devices are important to divers?
Saw it coming, huh?
We'll call it one of those not-so-subtle signals.
Well, I appreciate you going into it just the same. Yes, signaling devices are an extremely important aspect of diving, and divers really need to know why as well as what their options are.
Let's start with the why.
Signaling devices are important because they serve a variety of purposes. They allow divers to communicate up close and at a distance, both on the surface and at depth.
All at the same time?
Wise guy. No, it's not likely you'll be doing all of these all at once. But having the proper signaling devices close at hand will allow you to be able to communicate in most situations.
What kind of signaling devices are available?
Well, I'd have to say the visual markers are the front runners when it comes to common usage. Dive lights and tank markers are standard gear on night dives or dives with low visibility. They provide an easy way to keep an eye on your buddy's position or to ensure that you don't lose the group. Attaching a marker to the anchor or a scent line can also be helpful in finding your way back at the end of a dive.
Being in Florida, there's a lot of diving done from shore and private boats. Because of it, I see a lot of floats, flags, and buoys.
All of those are familiar sights, and each serves an important purpose. They indicate the presence of divers below, so other boats and water sports enthusiasts know to watch out for them.
What about visual markers for emergency use?
There are a lot of BCDs out there with signaling mirrors in their pockets, and safety sausages are increasingly considered standard safety gear.
Well, they're not just useful in emergency situations. I know a lot of divers who use safety sausages as buoy markers, drift dive markers, and even secondary lift bags.
They are really pretty versatile.
All of these items are considered visual signaling devices. What other kinds are there?
Probably the next most popular items are the sound-based signaling devices.
You mean like the whistle we're taught to carry from day one?
Exactly. It can be something as simple as that. Or other options that may be integrated into your equipment. There are a number of options out there, and more appear every year.
I'd say there's one more category that I'd like to call the high-tech category. What do you think?
For those of you who want to carry them, yes, there are more and more high-tech options available. Many of these work on frequencies by which the diver transmits signals back to the boat for easy tracking. The first GPS-based two-way radio is even available now. These devices tend to be much more expensive, but it's exciting to see the technology develop.
You weren't kidding when you were saying there are a lot of options.
There are a lot of options, but they all have one thing in common. They allow divers to communicate what's going on with them. They can alert other divers to the diver's position, or they can signal distress and trigger assistance. They can help you navigate, or simply keep track of a buddy. Because of the many functions they serve, the importance of signaling devices can't be denied.
Whether you like to be seen or heard, don't be shy when it comes to diving signaling devices. Choose the option that works for you, and make sure your message is heard. Do that, and you're guaranteed Dan Good Diving.
That was beautiful.
Only you can prevent diving accidents. Divers Alert Network is your dive safety organization. With your support, Dan will continue to provide the research, service, and benefits to make your next dive a safe dive. So don't be a dinghy. Join Dan today by calling 1-800-446-2671.
So what do you think? Are we being a scuba snob when it comes to Shark Week on the Discovery Channel? Or telling my fellow dive students here, or my dive students, that they should be eating ballyhoo? Does that make me a scuba snob?
No, just makes you a jerk.
Oh, okay. Well, I don't know if I believe CJ on that one, but we have recruited an expert in that category. That would be Dennis from scubasnobs.com. He is on Scuba Radio right now. Dennis, how are you, my friend? Hello, Dennis.
I'm doing great. It's
there
good
he
to
is.
Talk to you again, Greg.
Good
yes,
to talk
I'm
to
here.
You. All right, good, good. So, I don't know. What do you think? First of all, have you been following this conversation on Shark Week, or are you just joining us? I guess I should ask you that first, huh?
I'm just joining you today. Normally, I can catch you live, but I haven't been where I can catch you live today, so I'll catch up now.
Okay. Well, yeah, we were just talking a little bit about Shark Week on the Discovery Channel and how... I'm not a fan. I used to be a big fan of that show because, you know, they have a lot of diving things, a lot of shark things, conservation efforts, but not so much anymore. So does that make me a scuba snob? Is that even covered when it comes into being a scuba snob from scubasnobs.com or the guide to, you know, being a scuba snob, the etiquette and all that kind of good stuff?
Well, you know, that's a really tough question. Shark Week to me was really cool the first week I saw it, and then after
right.
that it got a little tired, and yeah, I'm kind of indifferent to it these days. I mean, it's I'm all for all the conservation programs that they have and promote, but I sometimes wonder how they get their footage. And of course, when the one guy is on film and telling us how not to get bit by a shark and it what latches onto his calf, by that That's not really in my wheelhouse, right?
Yeah.
Now.
Well, I hear you.
So, I guess. Yeah. I guess scuba snobs. Yeah. I guess as a scuba snob, as the author of the books, I'd say if you read through the books, they're going to give you a variety of different rules that may or may not apply, but it's going to give you focus. And I'm going to suggest that a true scuba snob probably is pretty indifferent to Shark Week.
Well, I think that that brings up a fantastic point about Shark Week and about television in general, because I'm wondering if when you're watching people on TV on any kind of a show doing diving, if in the back of your head you're going, oh, I wish they wouldn't do that. Oh, I wish they wouldn't do that. Oh, my God, do I wish they wouldn't do that.
Definitely.
All the time. And, you know, God rest his soul, do you remember Steve Irwin? You ever see him
sure.
dive on TV?
Crikey!
Oh, man.
Yeah.
He broke every rule in the book.
Mm-hmm.
Every dive.
He did.
And I used to drive me nuts.
Yeah. Yeah. He was fun to watch, though. So it was kind of like a wreck on the interstate. You'd have to slow down and watch.
Well, who else would use an alligator as their dive buddy?
Well, true. True.
Well, exactly true. Or dive in his khaki shorts and safari shirt.
Yes, exactly.
And every dive.
Yeah. Well, you know.
But you know, he promoted good ideas and good things.
Right. Right. So there's, I guess, there's room for a little bit of everything in that regard. All right. Well, let's zero in on some right. things to share to make people or make them aware of what it takes to be a scuba snob, which isn't a bad thing. We have book one and two, by the way, The Scuba Snob's Guide to Diving Etiquette. You can go to scubasnobs.com, get more information. But let's delve into some of those today. What topics should we address, Dennis? What do you think?
Well, you know, you've been talking a lot about lobster hunting, both in the two-day lobster rush season. And
right.
then I think I remembered that you were going to do some of that this weekend.
We are.
That,
as soon as we're
you.
Done with the show
but
today,
anyway,
we're heading down. Yep.
Well, then this might be appropriate, because I was thinking as you were talking about that last week, I think even the last 2 weeks, that there's a lot of rules in the books that apply. One of them, though, you get to disapply. Would that be appropriate to just like, let's take an outing like we're going to go hunt lobster? What rule, how do we apply the scuba snobs rules to that?
I like
and,
it.
I narrowed the list. One of the rules is keep your stuff out of the camera bucket or wash, and of course that includes your lobsters if you catch some.
Right. Yeah.
Don't jostle other divers, and I would add, especially if they're holding a lobster or two. But one of the things that really occurred to me is we're real big about not crowding each other in the water, and that certainly applies to lobster hunts. And the way that I kind of refined my thought on this is Don't swoop in to grab a lobster another driver's trying to snag, no matter how incompetently the other diver seems to be going after the lobster.
CJ, are you listening?
Oh, guard my lobster!
I've had that done to me, but I've never done that.
Who did that to you?
I don't want
to
say.
Greg. What?
No, it wasn't Greg.
Hey, who was it? You know, but you don't want to say? Why? They're not here right now. You can say.
I think it was a dive master, and I can't remember her name.
Yeah, Tony.
No, it wasn't. It wasn't Tony.
Mermaid
it was someone
Tony
that we dove with only once.
Really? Yeah. It was one of the dive masters. Yeah. Okay. Well, you know what? This is so. This is good stuff because we got to set up some guidelines that whatever I do is right, and what everyone else does is wrong. Okay.
Would you like to talk diving? Greg the Dive Master's all toweled down and ready to take your call now. Call Scuba Radio at 1-888-88-SCUBA.
Hosting a radio show about scuba diving and boating is one of the best gigs on the planet. It's actually part of my job to check out and report on cool new products I personally use to enhance my diving and boating adventures. However, I do believe in sharing the joy, and this is why we've added Nanook protective hard cases to our list of products you can now purchase on the merchandise page at scubaradio.com. Nanook cases are designed to protect the most sensitive equipment in the harshest environments. Underwater photographers, listen up. From their high-impact NK7 resin to their exclusive power claw latches, Nanook has raised the bar for those of you that demand the best protection for your gear. Plus, Nanook protective cases cost less than similar products currently on the market. The company has been around for over 15 years, but it's new to the U.S., so we've made a small number of Nanook cases available exclusively for you at a special introductory price on the merchandise page at scubaradio.com. Go there now and check out Nanook, the evolution of protection.
I'm always the first to run low on air.
I'm adjusting my BCD all the time.
It feels that I spent half my dive swimming back to the dive boat and on the surface.
You can learn to improve your diving so that you can feel more confident with your skills and more comfortable in the water thanks to the Professional Association of Dive Instructors. Peak Performance Buoyancy and the Navigation Specialty Course are just a few of the many PADI offerings to consider. Visit PADI.com to find the PADI Dive Center nearest you. PADI, the way the world learns to dive.
Obviously, we have it pretty good here at Scuba Radio, but why let us have all the fun? Dive into scubaradio.com and allow us to share the joy. It's all there, from cool monthly giveaways to info on how you can join us on our next big dive adventure or Scuba Radio broadcast. Click on the shop tab for special Scuba Radio pricing on Scuba Radio hats, jackets, shirts, and an assortment of unique items you won't find anywhere else. You can even get info on how to take scuba classes from a real live mermaid. So dive in now at Scuba Radio.
You mean they were only scuba divers?
Professional sea scavengers. This pony head hid the scuba mask. The fin on the back concealed a scuba tube. The flippers on the feet actually help them swim faster.
This is the world's first radio show devoted to diving. Greg, the Dive Master, Bill, the producer, CJ, Jimmy, the Bubble Boy, and Dennis is with us right now on the phone from scubasnobs.com. We're talking about how to be a scuba snob, or what a scuba snob would do in a lobster outing like we're getting ready to partake in down in the Florida Keys right after we end up in today's broadcast. So, Dennis, so don't bogart another guy's lobster. So you're working a lobster. Someone shouldn't swoop in and catch it if the diver is having issues or trying to catch it. Set the stage a little bit better for me.
Well, the idea is just don't crowd. Just don't crowd, and I suppose you could reach a frustration level if somebody's got a nice crustacean cornered there, but they don't seem to know what they're doing.
Yes.
But still, what you want to do is you want to be a mentor. You don't want to be a pain in the butt. You know, a big difference there. So if you want to assist them, but again, we have a rule that says only help other people if they ask you to. So that you can be frustrating if you're watching somebody who's got some real incompetence issues. But the idea is just don't elbow your way in on top of somebody else.
Yeah.
And the same thing's true back on the deck. We have a rule that says don't touch other people's stuff.
Does that that includes lobster?
You bet. Don't you hate it when somebody touches your lobster when you're not looking?
Especially lobster.
I know I do.
You know, I really don't have a problem with someone touching my lobster, but when they grab for my tickle stick, that's where I draw the line. But that could just be me.
Yeah, Dennis. Dennis,
same different application.
Yeah, maybe. Yeah.
Okay. Jimmy the Helper Boy, Jimmy the Bubble Boy here. I've seen Greg and CJ go at each other with their tickle sticks,
like swords?
Yeah, like foils.
Yeah. Well, it's like fencing, a form of fencing. You could use those things
Is that inappropriate?
For practice. No, no, not at all. As long as you don't cross the streams. I might be mixing up my activities. I'm not sure. Yeah. But you know, it's interesting. I've never really thought about the idea of touching another person's lobster on the boat. I kind of like the idea of sharing. Hey, look what I got. And then sometimes people who haven't caught a lobster before, they want
to
see them
touch it.
I think if it's by invitation, consensual lobster touching, I think.
See, I like this. This is a lot of common sense stuff.
Right. Now, like last week, if Reef Diver was on the boat with us and she grabbed two lobsters and said, "Can I pose for a picture?" and she just grabbed them, I wouldn't object to that. Now, that's what got her kicked off of Facebook, evidently. Because she posed for such a picture and she, you know, she put them up over her, I don't know.
Assets.
Yes, exactly.
And how does she feel about crabs, Greg?
I don't know. Yeah. I've never went crab diving with anyone for that matter, let alone her. Yeah. But yeah, I guess that's a different element. As long as it's consensual, you can touch another person's lobster stuff. But don't go in there and sweep in and try to snag a lobster unless they're having trouble or they're messing up the reef and you want to keep them from creating, you know, causing damage, I guess, right?
That's right. And all of those underwater rules apply. That's why every competent and concerned and active and avid diver should read our books, because a scuba snob is an active and avid diver with excellent scuba skills who exercises them on every dive, and the snob part is, and they expect other people to do the same. Well, that doesn't always happen.
That's me. Well, there you go. See? All you got to do is have the book.
I'm all those adjectives.
Yeah, I would think so. Why not?
One of those rules is don't loiter in the exit and entry areas on the boat. And if you're on a lobster hunt, it's even more important, because somebody climbing back on board with their catch, and if you're in the way, I think you're just asking to be smacked with a lobster.
Yeah, well, and they hurt. So,
if someone did that to me, I will whip their hiney with a tickle stick.
Well, see, that's because you're an experienced person and you got a plan.
No, he just likes whipping people with his tickle stick.
Yeah, actually,
what's wrong with that?
If you work it the right way, you could actually charge for that. You could charge people.
That would be a nice little side.
You could.
I've seen that on the internet.
Revenue.
Yeah. But
you know,
There's what, Dennis?
Oh, I'm sorry. There's a very important Scuba Snobs Book 1 chapter, and we talk about it in Book 2, called Dive Talking. And there's a rule there that's real important on your lobster hunt outing. And that is that after it happens, when you're talking about your lobster hunt, you should follow the rules for dive talking, especially the one that says, only tell lies when they're really good and well told. So if you're going to overstate your work, well, you need to read that chapter, give you some guidelines on how to put together a really good, let's just say, creative diving story, creative lobstering story. And again, we're just trying to do a service for all our friends here to educate them as to the proper rules of etiquette before, during, and after the dive. And they apply everywhere, including lobstering in the Keys, which is where I wish I was going to be this weekend. But
yes,
wish you happy hunting.
Well, thank you. Maybe next time we can arrange this where you can join us. Yeah, these are scuba snob lessons for life. I mean, not only are they diver lessons, they apply to their life lessons. I mean, so you can apply this to, you know, because when it comes to telling lies, if you're going to tell them, you really want them to be good.
You mean like eating ballyhoo?
No, that's not a lie. That's more of a ritual, like a first-time creature feature. You know, that type of thing, That's just part of being a dive instructor with your students. That's allowed under scuba snobs etiquette, isn't it, Dennis?
That's right. The both books, book one, book two, available on just about every online bookstore you can find, paperback or ebook. Make yourself a better diver by being familiar with those rules.
There you go. Scubasnobs.com there. He said it, so you guys have to eat it. The ballyhoo, I mean. Just pointing that out. All right, that does it for hour one. Hour two is on deck. Stay close to the world's first radio show devoted to diving.
Scuba Radio is a production of Overboard Entertainment Incorporated. Scuba
Radio. This seems the logical place for fish to congregate.
Remember, you can listen live or to archives of past editions of Scuba Radio worldwide over the internet at scubaradio.com.
So we're in international waters?
Indeed so.
Tell a friend and buddy up with your radio every week for Scuba Radio, the world's first radio show devoted to diving.
Well, it's all very nice here, but we should be going. I miss me wife and me oxygen.
Yes, we all miss our loved ones and gases. Let's go.